This is Night Force Action Report for Tuesday, July 9th, 2013, coming at you live on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I am your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me this evening, Ethan Moses.
Good evening, everybody.
That's very inclusive of you. That's very nice.
Exclusivity? Wait, inclusive?
I don't think exclusivity even exists anymore. Yes.
We want everyone
exclusive
welcome.
Inclusions. I don't know what we're talking about. This is a video game podcast from HorribleNight.com where we get caught up in the games we've been playing and make some game pitches before the night is out. But first, what were you up to this weekend, Ethan?
Oh, man. Quite the weekend, actually. Had some good stories. Good things to talk about. So I've been trying to be a lot more active lately because the sun's out. And in Germany, sometimes the sun doesn't come out. So when it's out, you go out and you enjoy it. And so I went on a picnic this weekend with some friends.
Okay.
Ended up drinking way too much. And we happened to have an American-style football with us. And, in my inebriated stupor, I saw a bunch of little kids playing around, you know, within the watchful eyes of their parents, and they had a flat basketball. And in my mind, I thought, you know, this isn't right. This isn't cool. So I kicked the American football towards them.
Uh-huh.
And it rolled, and they picked it up, and they seemed pretty excited. And then I ended up teaching them how to play American football, American-style football, not that soccer bullshit, because no one watches that.
Especially in Europe.
I think Finland. My buddy from Finland said they love it in Finland, but that's about all.
That sounds about right.
So I felt like I really like. You know, my big thing is I like kids. I want to impact kids. I want to be a good example. And I really thought it. You know, metaphorically speaking, touched these children. They ended up chasing me away with sticks, like in a very friendly way. Like they thought they were having like fun with it. I guess that's like a European thing. I don't know. I haven't been here too long, but yeah, by the end of it, they were excited. It wasn't like it was a violent thing and their parents were laughing.
Did it happen suddenly? Like your story just escalated.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it did. It went really well. Like I felt like it was one of those, you know,
is that how they show appreciation for new ideas?
I guess so. I don't know. You know, I thought it was, like, you know, kind of one of those Forrest Gump moments, like one of those really touching moments, like a little feather floats down and everyone's like, oh, man, this is it. This is what the world needs is American football. No, they just wanted to – they just chased me away with sticks.
You know what this game needs? It's more sticks.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So
– or actually, no offense, but like – so you said they were playing with a basketball. That's an American sport. You gave them
But it was a flat basketball.
That's fine.
That's
fine.
Not an American sport. Flat basketball is the worst sport.
They have an American basketball. I don't know if there's another version. They have a basketball. You give them an American football, and obviously they're responding by trying to play baseball with you. They just didn't fully understand it. So
there was a lot of confusion there. But I ended
flat
up giving them this basketball.
Thanks, Chad.
Basketball's in. That's it. But no, it ended up working out well. I gave them the football. They were really appreciative of that after they put down the sticks. And they tried to offer me the flat basketball in exchange. I was like, don't you worry about it, kids. We're okay here. This deal is closed. So, yeah, I felt like, you know, I did my good deed for the month. So Aubrey wasn't happy that it was her football. But, you know, that happens.
Now we can lock you away so you just play video games for a month.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to go out anymore. Yeah, because today I had another big experience. I went to a nude beach.
On purpose.
I wasn't nude.
Okay.
I was not nude. I went to a normal beach and then stumbled across a nude beach. And I've just got to say, my mind has changed about nude beaches. Not for me, definitely, but man, you know what?
What?
You got to respect those people.
Okay.
It was hot. They have to lotion up everywhere.
Yes.
You know, like the conventional gentleman only has to, you know, deal with his top and some parts of his bottom, but these they were dealing with like the whole, you know, the whole spectrum of flesh.
I think that'd be the most uncomfortable part is having to lotion up your nether regions in public. And just like drawing more attention to it, and I just don't
it's
know
a thin what, line
yeah
it's a yeah. thin line between health and safety and pleasure.
I was gonna
say, a bunch of naked people around you. You know what I mean?
There are nude cops waiting to arrest you for masturbation if you go on a little bit too long.
There's got to be some time limit to it. That they're like, huh? Like the lifeguard blows the whistle and like, excuse me, sir, you're lingering.
No, they have a flag for it. They throw a sock at them, and that's the universal flag for public masturbation.
You stop that! They just swat at them. Yeah. So no, it was interesting, but you know, hey man, Europeans, they're not afraid of their bodies. That's cool.
That's cool.
We should teach everybody that. I mean, to a limit, within good, you know, there's a level of good taste that we have to maintain. But yeah, man.
So
absolutely.
How long do you before you hang out at a nude beach, clothed? Do you feel like you're the awkward one?
I was passing by, and I was doing my best not to make eye contact with anything, like even eyes. So, I wasn't even looking at eyes.
I was going to say, you're not allowed to look at the people unless you're joining in. Is that one of the rules?
Yeah, because as soon as you make eye contact with genitalia, it's kind of a rule. They kind of do this little like thing with their like motion with their head, like, all right.
It's your turn.
Take your pants off now. you're with us now, right? And it was like,
don't make this weird. Don't make this weird.
I was just looking for an ice cream cone. That's all I was. And I found one, but it wasn't exactly the ice cream cone that I necessarily, you know, enjoy. But, but yeah, that was interesting. Hey, man, do as the Romans do, I guess, except not like draw the line. So, but I am eyeballing a Speedo.
Do you really want to use that phrase right now?
Yeah, I guess that is true. Out of context, yeah, or in context even sounds bad. So, yeah, interesting weekend.
Yeah.
How about you, Justin?
Not as many adventures, but I got caught up on the most recent half season of Breaking Bad. Have you watched that show at all? I know I've talked about it a few times.
I watched the first season.
Okay.
So, way behind.
So, it is. Man, it is not a happy show, and at this point...
It is not a happy show.
I mean, it's fun to take a step back and you look at the overall arc of the character of Walter White, but at this point, like, I kind of hit this... I think I've said this before, too, but I've hit this point with this show, much like the show The Weeds... Where I don't like any of the characters on the show because they're all terrible, terrible people. And it's like, what am I watching this for? Either they're gonna like succeed and you're like rooting for the bad guy, or they're gonna die gruesomely, and I don't even know if that's satisfying because you feel bad for the person that the show started off with. So it's been one of those shows that, you know, it's so popular. I wonder what the majority of fans get out of it because. Now I'm just watching it to see it conclude. It's a great drama, but I don't know what I'm rooting for anymore. And now it's just kind of like, well, I've made it this far.
Yeah. I mean, I think like The Walking Dead is almost where I draw the line in terms of like a show that just keeps getting worse. You know what I mean? And I guess Game of Thrones is there too, but Breaking Bad, it just like, there's not, I mean, when you don't have somebody to root for, it's just I'm from the 80s, so all I want is a good guy, you know, and those are the only shows I watch. But yeah, it was tough to, I mean, AMC doesn't do happy shows.
No.
Like all of their shows are depressing, or they like, you know, put a spotlight on these like horrible aspects of humanity. They do it really well, I mean, but geez Louise, that's a heavy show. AMC, you wouldn't invite AMC to a party, like, unless it was just you and like a few other channels, because AMC would bring everyone down. They'd be known for that. That's... Cinemax would just show everyone their dick. Or the top of it.
What else we got? What other show? What other networks? CW just brings all the pretty people. They're really dumb, but...
But they act really like, yeah, they're just really... Like, they don't really associate with anybody. They just kind of roam around.
What's FX? FX just brings...
FX is the one that kind of like really wants to be like on the edge, but like they kind of hold themselves back.
But they're still they think they're a lot more hardcore, but they're really just dark comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, people are laughing at you, but I mean, I don't want to mess with you, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Spike TV's out back fucking breaking boards and drinking beer through bongs and stuff like that. ABC Family doesn't show up because it's not their thing. They're not into it, you know?
Speaking of all those TV stations, I wrote a piece last week for Pure Geekery, puregeekery.net, one of our site's friends. Nicole will show up from time to time writing articles for us, and I did a piece on cutting the cord because I ditched cable about a year ago. Mm. And I hadn't really thought much about it, but I know a lot of people out there are actually considering doing the same, so I actually broke down and did the math of how much I've saved since I cut the cord. And really, what it boils down to is, I added what? Let's see, I was already subscribed to Netflix, and I already had Amazon Prime for the shipping. Not necessarily the video stuff was still kind of ramping up. But since then, since I actually cut it, I've subscribed to Hulu, and then I think I did the math based on I subscribed to maybe 4 shows at once on Amazon, so it's like $2 or $3 an episode,
mm-hmm.
and then and maybe rent a couple movies, which is another $5 per, and in the end I was saving $47 a month, and the only thing I'm missing again is live sports, which I basically wrote off because if the sporting event actually matters, most of the time I'm watching it with a group of people elsewhere anyway. So it was kind of interesting to actually like reflect on it, because it was more of a, I don't know, it wasn't a money decision for me. It was just like this, I just, you get to that point where you just get fed up with cable and that bill. And I knew I wasn't watching all the stations I was buying. So even without doing the math, it seemed like the right thing to do. But
I was going to say, sports are like the only thing that prevented us from cutting, but once we get back, if we ever make it back, no one does cable. Cable's old shit. It's like a telephone line, you know? Fuck that.
I did want to touch base here before we got going, because we originally were going to podcast last night, but there was a pretty big incident in the gaming industry yesterday that really affected a number of us on a horrible night, when Giant Bomb announced that Ryan Davis had passed away. And I was just gutted all day. We had a bunch of stuff planned to go up, but I had no motivation to write. And for those of you that don't know, like, when Cole and I started this site, a lot of it was based around what Ryan and Jeff from Giant Bomb have done for video game coverage, and just kind of inspired us for a different take on being a little bit more genuine and entertaining with the way that we cover our favorite hobby. And I don't know, it was a very surreal day, but without kind of bringing things down, one thing that I think both you and I noticed, and I'd be curious on your take, because I think all this might have happened after you maybe gone to bed, because based on the time zone switch, I'm trying to think if you heard about it before then, but it was really uplifting for the first time in a long time to see the internet kind of come together around this and be overwhelmingly positive, which I can't remember the last time I had seen something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time either, and we were kind of talking today, and I mean, the thing about, and again, I didn't follow Giant Bomb to the degree that you guys did, but I mean, that was like, if you're going to listen to a podcast, that's the one you listen to, and that's the one that I listen to outside of our own, because I'm a narcissistic fuck. But, you know, the thing about Ryan Davis is, and Jeff Gerstmann as well, is they don't have fanboys. They have, people that respect everything that they do. They're not, like, polarizing at all, because they don't need to be. Like, they bring it. They brought something to journalism that no one else can do. I mean, Ryan Davis was in a league of his own, as is Gerstmann, as is most of the Giant Bomb team. And that's kind of the thing that I kind of realized yesterday. I was like, that's huge. That's very impactful. And Cole's article hit the nail on the head, because these personalities, I mean, we follow them. You know, like, I think about, like, my brother and me. Like, those guys, like, I don't know them. I've never met them, but, like, Those are kind of like my you know, invisible friends, you know. And, and the thing with, you know, Jeff passing on is that, you know, that's
Ryan.
Jeff is alive. Jeff Gerstmann's alive, everybody. Don't worry. Is the whole industry was just like, oh, shit. And that's, I've not seen that for a long time.
I mean,
with our industry is so indifferent to everything.
Yeah. I mean, from developers to, like, guys that cover the financial side to other, you know, other gaming press, and to it was just so genuine, and so and for, you know, when you're kind of mourning like that, to it felt weird in that in Cole's piece kind of centered around the fact that we didn't really know him, but this is a guy that for 10 years now was that I had spent 2 to 3 hours or more with a week based on all their podcasts and all their videos. Yeah. And that was pretty incredible. I was trying to figure out why do I even feel the right to, you know, feel the way that I do when, you know, his family and his friends are so much closer, but we weren't the only ones, and everybody, just like that outpouring of hilarious moments with him. There was a couple amazing Twitch streams. There was a Thanks Ryan stream that played like a YouTube playlist of their favorite Ryan moments, and then the Harmonix team did a whole tribute to him. It was a pretty amazing day, and it felt good to feel good about the internet in that regard as well. And a lot of that is because of him, because I feel like what they've done has opened up a lot of people to to how games are covered and the personalities behind them. So
I hope for people like me who didn't follow him as much, they see this and they kind of go back and look at that, because that's kind of an example of what we want the industry to look like, you know.
And it's funny that you mentioned my brother and me, because I really was. I was ready to say, you know what, Horrible Night's going to just take the week off, because I wasn't feeling creative. I thought maybe we can get by with just doing, you know, reviews and just analytical game coverage, take the emotion side and personality out of it. But that's, you know, that's not why we're here. But on my way to work this morning, I downloaded the latest episode of My Brother, My Brother and Me. They recorded before the news got out, so it was just another episode. But if you haven't listened to this week's episode yet, it is incredible. It brings back their entire conversation about whether or not Kevin McAllister would be found guilty for his crimes in Home Alone. It just escalates, and I was in tears laughing at this while driving. And those guys are very much inspired by Ryan, so just kind of that tying all together. If you need a good laugh, those are out there, and it helped me bounce back, and was ready to do this show tonight. So
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to new releases. First of all, the biggest release of the week that I think you and I are equally excited for, dramatic pause, is the NCAA football 14 is out this week.
I know, dude. I wasn't sure which one you were going to pick. I thought you were going to pick that one, but then I was like, I don't know if you will. Yeah, I'm so excited to play.
I can't believe
the
it's
same
out,
game
actually.
That I played for the last 25 years. I'm so excited.
And I believe
I love football. I love college football. I love football. Fucking can't stand sports games.
Yeah.
Do something different. Don't work on the sweat. You know, like that's like every one of these games. You look at like the next generation. It's always focused around sweat and texture. Like the texture of their body. It's like, dude, this is getting a little bit off.
Which is always weird for football games, because helmets don't sweat and.
Helmets don't sweat, but they work on trying to but the little bits of sweat that get, you know, come down from the their pit sweat.
Yeah, that looks awesome. Thanks for showing me that unusable camera angle that would not benefit me while playing a sports game. Now zoom as far out as you can so I can see the action. Yeah. There was I don't know if they're calling it an expansion or DLC, but basically DLC or to Civ 5 came out this week for PC. A Brave New World 6-player local or online co-op.
Cool.
So, breathe some new life into Civ. Looks like Metal Gear Solid The Legacy Collection is out this week. I think that's a PlayStation 3 release. All the Metal Gear games in one package. So
nice.
I think there was an HD collection only like a year or 2 years ago, so those people might feel a little bit hosed, but... I still have not played Metal Gear Solid 4, so I've been kind of getting the hankering to go back and play 2. Mm-hmm. But we'll, you know, I say that with every like re-release that comes out. Yeah, I think I could. I kind of want to play that game, but those games are a big undertaking. But nice to have them all together, I guess. Right?
Yeah. I was gonna say.
Dark for the third week in a row is out, but I think this is just the console release. The PC release got delayed a week, and I think it finally made it out last week, but. I heard it's a big, long, boring stealth level is the entire game. With vampires.
With vampires, though? I mean...
Vampire stealth.
You know, zombies or vampires, you throw those in, it doesn't matter what the game is. It'd be fucking awesome.
Now, if it was a... vampire stealth vampire romance game. You might have me.
Wait, you know what? Here, why the fuck don't they make werewolf games? We're going to talk about this when we talk about Skyrim.
Okay. I think you've had a couple werewolf articles there. I think werewolves honestly got a bad rep recently, like being tied into the vampire craze and more of the romance side of it. Like we want werewolf action.
Yeah. Watch
or the Teen Wolf and then basketball game.
Tell me. Yeah, I was gonna say yeah.
Teen Wolf really sports good. For the Wii. I'm writing that down for our game pitches later.
Van surfing and guitar. Yeah,
Teen Wolf mini games. The original Metroid's out for the Wii U. I don't think I'll be playing that. live stream Super Metroid. Also, Star Wars Pinball's finally out for the Wii U. I can't believe that's not. I don't know. I thought they were releasing a lot more tables for that, but they're still doing multi-platform releases, so that's kind of. I hope Zen releases more tables. And then Guncraft for the PC. I don't know anything about that one, but that was the big PC release, so. That's it for the new releases. What have you been playing, Ethan?
A lot of people join me in chat today, but and they know what I'm about to talk about because this is my moment of the year right now, video game wise. I'm hoping there's other moments that are more exciting than this, but I've been playing FTL for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Really addicted to it. Took a break for a while. And tonight I was streaming Sleeping Dogs, and I was at the point, I was just, like, I wasn't in the mood. I was like, hey, anybody want to watch FTL? And, yeah, FTL is great, and people love FTL. It's fun to watch, fun to see someone fail. I jumped in, my first fucking run. I beat it on normal, finally.
That was your first run? I saw you start the game, I assumed you... Did I survive? You did another...
Yes, every member of the team that began from the beginning... I bought one Zoltan or whatever those guys are called, the energy guys. He died. It was tragic.
But he's an alien. Who cares?
Yeah, he was an energy being. He doesn't have any emotions, except for, he did scream in pain at the end of it. That was sad. But it was like I wasn't feeling it because I got to the the second before last sector. And I was like, I just don't feel like I have enough weaponry. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. And I did pretty fucking well against the Rebel ship, and like mm-hmm. I did way better than I did even on easy, and you get so much more scrap when you play it on easy. I mean, I did quite well the second, because the Rebel flagship comes at you in three different forms, and these forms are depressing as hell.
I was gonna say, I heard it's like one of the most unfair bosses in video games, like when
it absolutely is. And the first section, I made a mistake. I wasn't dodging enough missiles, and that wasn't good. And I wasn't aiming for the missile pods because, you've got four level shields, or level four shields. You can, block most of the lasers coming in. I stuck with it. The second part of it was the one that did the most damage to me. But then by the end, I killed it, and I almost screamed. My wife was in the room. This was really, because this is a fucking tough game.
Yeah,
it's also a roguelike, so I mean it's random, And I got a lot of really good drops, and I'm gonna fucking brag about this because I'm not awesome at video games, but this is one of those video games that I said, like, I'm gonna beat it on normal.
Do we need
to take a break?
Need to cut a highlight reel and do a slow motion finish?
Oh yeah, I was actually watching the highlight before we started because I just wanted to get I wanted to relive that because it felt real good inside my body. And again, I know that sounds totally geeky, but I don't fucking care because I'm not a spaceship guy. Like, I'm not space guy. I'm like land guy. I'm like, zombie guy. I'm not space guy.
Most boring superheroes ever. But yes. Land guy. One person lamer than Aquaman.
If you attack us on land, I'll do my best. I'm land guy. but I was space guy tonight, and I felt fucking good, and I was doing these... Well, I didn't do these things, but I wanted to do these things, but I didn't want to mess up the micro or anything, but I'm so... Like, it's not even funny, how proud I am of that at this point. That is, an accomplishment.
Well, congratulations.
Chat was with me the whole time. I love them. I love every one of them.
Is anybody helping you? I know we had a new fellow in chat that was at least paying attention while the rest of us were starting a petition to bring back Josh Lee.
They came on, Happy Matt came on at a point, threw out some good tips, but also pointed out to me on numerous occasions that I didn't have any oxygen going, and I was killing myself. Like when I was making mistakes. Like I was in good shape, and anytime something bad happened, it was because of me. And I always do that because I'm not good in the clutch. If you're ever on a sports team with me, fucking don't make me be the guy that has to knock the homer in to bring everybody on. Like that's not gonna happen, you know. So definitely in chat. Chat helped me out, but I got to thank my crew, Justin and Verdian. They made it. They survived. Like, this is the first time
against
I had
all odds. Seriously,
oh yeah, betting on, crew the whole time. So
betting on me and Verdian.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just did. I went with it.
No offense to Verdian, but I dragged at least two people down. So.
But it was you were a great pilot. You really served admirably and. Yeah, gotta thank you. My hat's off, man.
Because I remember I was watching the beginning and things were going bad to start. You were kind of panicking, and I just assumed you had to restart. And I saw on Twitter that you'd reached this monumental moment, and I assumed it was another run. But that's pretty impressive, man. I don't think you should feel nerdy at all for. I mean, that's what FTL was built for. Was that one? Yeah. That one great run. So,
and it feels so good. I forget how it feels to beat a game that like isn't easy, that you can't save, that you don't become super powerful after leveling up that much. Like, and again, and we've been playing Rogue Legacy a lot, and so it goes back to this, like the satisfaction of video games. And this is why I think my enjoyment of video games has kind of been relit. Is that like now I'm playing games that actually like okay I've kind of done something, like I'm not just sitting around, like I love Skyrim and that kind of stuff, don't get me wrong, but like I'm actually like I'm like, oh shit, that took some time, that was something to cheer about, as opposed to in Skyrim where I just like just fuck everybody up, like there's no trouble at all, so this was a magic moment though, like I looked over to my wife and I kind of like pointed at her like,
you did
like
it.
This one's for you, baby. And after we shut the stream down, when she was like, I fucking don't even know what FTL is. Spaceship? I'm going to bed. So, so one of us was really excited about it. So.
What got you playing it again? Like, because this is, I would say this is phase two or three for you.
Yeah, because I played it on the stream. FTL was my get into the marathon game, I think.
Okay.
I think it was the first game I started playing.
July 4th marathon.
Yeah, and it's a good it's just such a good go-to game because I mean you can play at kind of your own pace, and like when chat gets involved, and I mean if you lose it's still kind of fun, but no, it was just kind of luck of the draw tonight, I guess. So
cool.
And I've got to thank Sleeping Dogs for not holding my interest for this victory. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Square Enix.
Yep.
What else you got?
So last week I got back into Just Cause 2. I think it was last Tuesday, right before the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think we have been talking about that game since the very first podcast we did. That was one of the games you talked about. We were talking about like just explosion heavy, like goofy fun. And actually, we're talking about two games tonight that we both talked about on that podcast, which is hilarious that we're still playing those games, but. Just Cause
that's what the summer gaming's for, man.
Oh my god! It's like reliving the getting back to your roots, and that's what we did. And Just Cause 2 was so great. Like if you've not played that game, if you've not bought that game on PC right now, like you're silly because it's been $2.99 at times.
Yeah,
and it is such an incredible game. It is, I was wondering like, oh, how's it aged? Because I haven't played it for at least two years, and it.
How does it age in a world now that has Saints Row the Third and Far Cry 3?
The thing about the big difference though is the scale is still no one surpassed that yet. Even Saints Row 3, like that scale was somewhat stunted. I felt I was flying and I need to cut that highlight, but I was flying. I flew up like thousands of feet, and you just don't have that opportunity. I was in space, and I lost control. But I mean, Saints Row 3 is more focused, I feel like, because Just Cause 2, you do get to that point where you've flown all around the island. You're kind of like, okay,
did you ever
like,
beat the story to that game?
No, I haven't. Man, yeah, I'm like 11% in, and that's not story missions. That was just finding boxes and shit like that. But there's so much hilarious stuff that you can do with that game, and the possibility of the multiplayer mod that's coming out that they're working on is what got me back into it, because I want to be like on my A game for when that happens, because I've seen some videos of it.
Train up.
It looks awesome. Like, oh yeah, like that is going to be, even if it's not...
Ethan's like, mod trainer.
Oh man, dude, like even if it's not mechanically fun, it'll be hilarious. Like I cannot, that is one of those games, like Saints Row 3 is one of those games you play with one other person, it's awesome. Like it's hilarious, crazy shit happens, but Just Cause 2, there's kind of like, it's such a, one of the best sandboxes. I mean, I enjoyed that as a sandbox a little bit more than I did Saints Row 3. I mean, it's...
Let's both get in jets and do a stunt jump and try to shoot each other off each other's jets.
Why not? Like, that was like what I forgot about. Like, jumping into those helicopters, you actually shoot dudes out of helicopters. Like, I forgot those little bits of it, but, oh man, holy cow.
That game is just the right amount of silly. That is like the one of the best pure video games out there.
Yeah.
I mean, even, I don't know, like, because there's something that separates it between, it's funny, like Saints Row is a little bit more serious. Like, it's a little bit more grounded than Just Cause 2. I hope, I forget what they're working on next. Damn it. Avalanche is working on something, but I can't wait to see what they do next gen, because that engine is no joke either.
Yeah. I mean, for what they do, when did Just Cause 2 come out?
Oh man, that's probably been 4 years.
Yeah.
3-4 years.
They teased a screenshot that people thought was going to be a Just Cause sequel, but it turned out not to be. It turned out to be like a steampunk game or something like that. But they're doing, I mean, there's something, something's happening. Like, something's 2009. Happening. I'm excited for that. 2009. Shit, man. Yeah.
And hold on. Let's see. What else did Avalanche do? Look this up. Well, while I'm searching.
Did they do Snowblind? No, that wasn't them. They didn't do Snowblind, did they?
No. Let's see here. They did the... What was the... Somewhere...
Oh, are they doing the Mad Max game?
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Figured out Verdian. Thank you. Yeah. Oh man, shit. So that'll be fun.
And then they did Renegade Ops. That was the man, completely blanked on them, but yeah. So that'll be their next open world game.
Mad Max. I'm more excited about it now.
Yeah.
Now that I was a little bit like, Mad Max, I'm not really into it, but I'm more excited.
I would be
now
curious, because I don't think either of us really knew or paid attention to Just Cause 1. I kind of want to see that shit show.
Because it was a shit show, wasn't it?
Right. Like, because I felt like when Just Cause 2 came out, people were almost promoting it as a joke. And then I realized, no, like, because it's kind of janky and you do all these stunt moves, it's fun. Like, that's the joke, is it doesn't really matter what else is going on. The game's just fun to play. So that'll be definitely one of my favorites of this gen for sure.
Absolutely.
What else you got?
I also, and this will be going up sometime this week, but I kind of wanted to talk about this in a more analytical way. But I've been playing a lot of games off of Desura, a lot of games that people often see on Steam Greenlight. And my big thing right now is I see a game on Steam Greenlight, if it looks interesting, I go to Desura, and it usually has it. And Survivor Squad was one that looked interesting to me, and I did kind of a live Reflex review today. And again, just, you know, impression alone, like, it seemed like it had some possibility to it. But, man, it's tough it's really tough to judge these indie games. It really is, because if these guys or guys and gals had a bit more funding, a bit more time, it could have been a cool game, but right now it just—I really didn't enjoy myself. And actually, Verdeen was in chat, and he and I were kind of just, you know, throwing, you know, like back and forth, like, you know, like what is it with this? And I just think that there's this really weird gameplay loop that I've noticed in a lot of indie games that I think comes from polish. Is in that, you know, the game wants to take that next step. It wants to be like, really in depth and have all these mechanics, and they just can't pull it together. And for me, that's kind of how Survivor Squad was. And again, it's a zombie game, so I think it's going to get written off by a lot of people. But again, I kind of had hope for it because it was a tactical game. So it played a lot like Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2. So you had kind of a small squad and you're moving around. Okay. And you could craft weapons and that kind of stuff. But it just, it got jumbled up a little bit. And I wonder if, and we double checked to make sure it wasn't in beta, but
it is more action oriented than like, say, strategy or survival.
That's a weird thing.
Survivor Squad.
I thought it was going to be, I thought it was going to be more tactical, more survival, and it isn't. Like you get to these points where you just basically set your guys up. Like I feel like you should be moving in and out of buildings, like kind of being quiet and whatnot. But what it turns out to be is kind of like a low key like tower defense. You just kind of set your guys up and masses of zombies come at you. And I don't know, a lot of possibility with it, but it fell quite short. And I'm definitely gonna be writing a Reflex review on it. But again, you wonder, like, you know, a game like this, I believe it was $9.99, that's a tough call because there's a lot of really great games that are coming out for less than that. And I hate to say to indie developers, look, you got to kind of, you know, lower your standards a little bit in terms of price. But I mean, a game like that isn't that level. I mean, a $10 game is still like a high level, and that's weird. Like in the last few years, that's kind of something that's turned out. Like, and I'm not just talking Steam sales. I mean, some really great indie games have come out at $10, and it's kind of strange to be like, oh, it's a $10 game. Like, you know, you should kind of know what you're going to get. But I mean, my standards for $10 games have grown quite a bit, and unfortunately, this game doesn't quite meet that. You know, so I mean, again, you wonder how to fix that, and is it just not a good game, or do they need to go back and add some new, you know, things to it or whatnot? But I mean, my big thing is just the price point, and how do we really dig into that now? You know, that's a really difficult question, especially when you're trying to review games.
Yeah, I kind of ran across the same issues with Gun Monkeys last week. Yeah. It was that it was kind of only trying to do one thing, and it kind of did it okay, but it was still $10. And
yeah.
Also, in a, you know, it was an arena combat game. There are tons of other options, and it's hard to be overly critical when you know what an indie studio is kind of dealing with. But it's also like, just to be fair to, you know, regardless of price, games, you only have a certain amount of time to play games, so your time almost becomes more valuable. And kind of making that recommendation of, you know, is this game worth your game time, worth giving up other games? And a lot of the time, that's kind of where my decision starts to hinge. In this, like you said, kind of muddy waters of what the actual price value of these indie games actually are.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It is time value at this point now. Like, it is like, there's so many games out right now, it's going to be a lot more difficult to compete for, you know, gamers' attention, and you got to come swinging for the fences, or else you're going to get lost in the mix of it, which is great for gamers, but for developers, I feel bad. I really do feel bad for new developers right now, because it's hell of a lot of pressure to compete.
Yeah, it seems to change every day is the other weird thing. So,
yep.
What else have you been playing, Ethan?
Well, I think this will kind of transition to us talking is Killing Floor. Like, that came back in a huge way. We had a hell of a session last week, so much so that I actually ended up staying up till, I think, 7 o'clock in the morning to play. And again, I was just talking about Just Cause 2, the very first episode I ever did on the podcast. You talked about Just Cause 2, and I talked about Killing Floor, and it's just funny that we're back talking about that again. But
it only takes me 3 years to listen to you.
Yeah,
or listen to each other, I guess.
That happens with a lot of different games, but we've had some really I've had some really good games with Killing Floor as of late, and we'll talk more about, you know, what we did, but I mean we played a little bit on the marathon last week, and Ghost is one of the guys that's on the in chat every once in a while, and one of my Steam buddies, and we play, and we had some great sessions, and the thing about it is every team that I've played on has been full of polite-ass dudes. you know, and ladies. I didn't know, you know, anyone's gender. I didn't really ask. That wasn't important. What was important was fucking mutants were coming at us. And it's really nice. It's really refreshing to play online games and not have a bunch of douchebags playing with you. Like, actually have nice people that actually want to play the game and not be, you know, jokers the whole time. And yeah. I mean, we definitely had a great game last couple times. But then our session last week, which started off bad, but we pulled it together. I mean, we pulled it together.
So, yeah, that was my first time ever seriously playing Killing Floor. We had this game kind of starred in our Horrible Nights Out, our local gaming events here in Indy, just as a multiplayer game that people seemed to enjoy. And I would just kind of jump in at the tail end of the game, never went through the setup, never really knew what I was doing. Probably hurt all those games that I joined now that I think about it. But yeah, I didn't know what to expect other than, you know, it's a co-op wave-based game, I guess I thought it was gonna be more like Left 4 Dead as far as having more mission objectives rather than just survive. And then getting to understand the whole, so you after each wave a merchant opens up somewhere on the map, and you want to not control the wave of enemies enough that you can kill them and stay alive, but also that you're close enough to that merchant to swap out your weapons and upgrade things for the next wave, which gets more and more. And it took us at least two or three matches before we really got past wave two or three.
You mean Aaron? We struggled. Oh man!
But then that last one, we started doing a little bit better. I think we got to wave three or four, and then some random people online joined our group, and at least two of them kind of knew what they were doing, and yeah. That changed the game entirely. It was a little rough with just three of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Aaron was kind of the MVP, I think, wasn't he? Didn't he? He was the last one alive at one point.
Well, and I mean, he was the medic. I mean, it's easy for you to feel like the MVP when he saves your life all that much. But I mean, I was the MVP of pistols.
Out of my life,
right? We did. Nah, he kept it, like, I was ready, I was dying so quickly, him transitioning to actually helping keep us alive, kept the game alive long enough for me to find out why people enjoy that game so much. And,
yeah.
And you need, like, I think those games are great for just catching up with old friends and playing games with people they don't always play games with, because it's kind of mindless, but at the same time, you gotta work together to keep it going. And before you know it, you're away four or five, and things are getting pretty hairy, and you're relying on your bros, and that's the fun part of gaming. That's the fun part of playing multiplayer. So,
oh man, and Tripwire keeps that game updated quite a lot. It's amazing that they. It's 4 years old, 5 years old. I mean, they still have events.
Didn't they have like a 4th of July or like a summer event going on now?
It's like a steampunk theme or a circus theme. Yeah, circus theme. And yeah, we were right into it. So yeah, I mean, it's cool to see a company, you know, do that and keep it going. And people are still pretty excited about that game. And I definitely, like, I keep popping back into it every once in a while. So fuck yeah, man.
It was one of those nights where we were looking for a multiplayer game to play and just... Oh, we haven't played Killing Floor for a while, and it still holds up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why we gravitate to that over Left 4 Dead, because it feels like they would solve the same issue, but yeah. Killing Floor just seems to click with us. I think it's just, I really like the monster design in the game. I think they're particularly vicious, and I love the headshots and the gore. It's just like, it's really satisfying when you are really pushed back against the wall and surrounded by dudes, but you get those couple kills, and then I'm a big fan of killing blows or execution moves or just that little extra touch that makes you feel like a badass, and it builds adrenaline, it builds momentum. And I think, you know, it can be written off as just silly gore, but I get motivated by it, and I want to, like, I was just running around with a knife because it was fun chopping dudes' heads off, and that kept me going long enough to actually start liking the rest of the game. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Arcade challenge update for me. Last week's game, you may have actually... I don't know how much you played this game, but the Sega game, so this might be more in your wheelhouse. I never played the original Shinobi outside of just random trips to the arcade, and all I remember about Shinobi is that you had a special move, and there was it was basically like you'd hit one button, and
yeah,
your ninja would just bounce all over the screen and kill everything on the screen. I just thought that effect looked awesome. And then the mini games that are in between the stages where you're throwing ninja stars in a first person perspective and the ninjas jumping out at you, I just thought those were like the most amazing graphics ever. So we are continuing our weekly arcade challenges at the office, and Shinobi was a big hit last week. We've been playing a lot of shooters, and this was like the closest we've come to actually like a platformer type of game, but I wanted some action. And so it came down between picking Shinobi and picking Bad Dudes. And when I played them back-to-back, I don't remember which came out first, but Shinobi is by far the better Bad Dudes. Because Bad Dudes kind of... I feel like it ripped Shinobi off. And then one thing I did, the other thing I didn't know about the game is that, you know, your character, after one hit, he dies. And that's kind of
It's a tough game.
Yeah. It is a tough game. And when you play a tough game like that for a full week and you really... You start to get good at it. You know, I appreciate that this is one of another in the long list of games that has a helicopter as a boss. And you defeat this helicopter by throwing ninja stars at it. It's awesome. But it was one of our bigger hits in a while. Like, we've been kind of struggling. Felt like I was kind of scraping the barrel with our arcade game selections. And this was one of our more widely played games. And... unfortunately, though, the guy that ended up winning jumped out to a huge lead in the middle of the week. I tried to give him a run for his money at the end, but we always shut the game down at 5:30 on Friday, and so I ended up doing my best run during the 5:30 run. So it was one of those moments where we're all kind of gathered around the machine. Am I going to pull it off? But I didn't get anywhere close. The other weird thing in Shinobi is, and I don't know the full history of it, but there is a character in the game that looks like Spider-Man. Apparently there's a character in the game that looks like Terminator and maybe Predator.
I think there's a Hulk as well.
Yeah, that sounds right. There was just some weird licensing things going on with Sega at the time, and they had to go back and actually remove the defining features, but you kind of know, like, that's not a ninja. That's, you know, that's a dude in a blue and red spandex suit climbing on the walls, and when he dies, he leaves a spider web. Like,
you know what? When Michael Stearns and I were talking a few weeks ago, and I've been editing the interview, he was talking about that. I remember I was trying to think, where did I hear that from? And yeah, he was talking about that exact thing. It's just like, like, let's throw Spider-Man into it. Why not? You know?
That was one of my, that's easily my favorite game we've played that I didn't play at all beforehand, so yeah. Points to Sega for Shinobi. So here I am in 2013 giving props to Sega for Shinobi.
Going back in time,
we just started playing Galaxian this week, which is my mistake. A new Galaxian was in the Galaga series. I thought it was the sequel to Galaga. It's actually the prequel to Galaga. It was the first game, and it's like super straightforward in that each level is no different than the one before it, so it's just kind of like an advanced version of Space Invaders, but it's super, super technical, and it's definitely, you have to kind of get into that zen moment to get any high scores in this, but the guys are actually liking that one for some reason. I think it's just because there's no mystery to the game. It is just straightforward, shoot these alien spaceships that are coming at you and survive longer than the next guy, so... Yeah. But yeah, we'll probably do Galaga next, but it was kind of funny when I looked that up after the fact. I was like, I got to like level 4 and nothing had changed. It just kind of resets the board. I'm like, I thought, you know, Galaga mixes things up. There's like different types of stages and, you know, you can get double ships. And I was like, you'd think the sequel would have more stuff going on. And then I actually did my research. So
yeah. Who's in the lead right now in the gaming challenge?
For this week, I had a really good run in Galaxian, but okay. I'm actually so what I found, you know, in 12 weeks of doing this, or however long we've been doing this, I'm usually slow. Like I kind of spike at the end of the week. It takes me people pick up games faster than I do, but then I feel like I start to master them towards the end. Like more thoroughly, because I kind of analyze the game for like 2 or 3 days and then start trying to figure out ways to bump up the score, but it's still a lot of fun. Like I said, if you are in that situation to have a competitive group of guys and you really want to stick with a game, this has been a really fun experience. So,
cool.
The big game of the weekend for me, because I finally got into it.
Jeez.
So I was waiting around all weekend. I don't remember when the Cube World Alpha went live, but if you've been following this at all, Cube World is... what are they? They basically described it as Minecraft meets Legend of Zelda. It's like an RPG Minecraft. People say Minecraft because of the blocky nature of the game. This is a voxel-based game, so it looks quite a bit different than Minecraft. But there's no... so far, there's no like mining or construction or building of buildings or anything like that. In the world, it's just all exploration, which I love exploration. So that's what kind of drew me in, was that promise. But so it's being handled by, like, I believe, just two developers right now. And they're trying to do... they launched the alpha, very similar to what Minecraft did originally. You know, buy in now, you get all the updates for free, and we're going to keep adding stuff. Here's where we're headed with it. And it was a huge hit. I guess when it was released, because their server went down almost immediately. A few of our guys got in, and but I found out after the fact, and the site was just down all weekend. I even had there was a little website keeping track of whether or not the game was the website was up, and the problem was, well, we found out later that the site was actually just being attacked. It wasn't people, it wasn't popularity. It was just like literally hackers doing DDoS attacks on the site.
Well, it went down, the first time it went down, wasn't it because it was popular,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
they recovered, and then they, which yeah, fucking happens. Every time a game's popular, some douchebag has yep, to jump on and do something. Or douchebags.
So,
on 4chan.
Once it did come up, what would happen is you needed to first create a forums account to be able to get into the store and register the game to your account. So I managed to, like, late Friday night, caught it at a time where I created my account, but I couldn't buy the game until Sunday night, Monday morning at 4 in the morning. So I played a little bit that night, which was really fun. I was like, on my way to bed, I was obviously up too late anyway, but I was on my way to bed, and I was like, I'll just check the site one more time, and I happened to catch
it.
So, I believe it's about $20 for the alpha, and then Aaron and I jumped in late last night and played some multiplayer, and so I've still kind of getting my feet wet, but I'm still, like, right now, I'm just wandering around the world. I think the game is gorgeous looking. I dig the, you know, the 3D pixel art type of look that it has going, and I'm just an undead warrior exploring the world, destroying things and crafting things as I come across and pick up items, and definitely a lot of fun. I felt like we kind of have to hack around it to actually get a multiplayer game going with your friends, but once we figure that out, I think it's much better. It'll be really fun to play with a small group of people, and it's just a really gorgeous looking game, and another interesting kind of indie development story, especially because it seems like it's kind of taken off.
Yeah,
and a game to keep an eye out on for sure.
Now, is it combat, MMO combat, or is it
no? It's all action. It's action based. Okay. I mean, it is, you're hitting your, it's, you know, so it's more Diablo, but it's you can dodge, you can move around, it's more active that way. So, and like, you know, if you miss with your sword in game, you miss. Like, so.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we've been wandering around, and there's all these other, like, you know, playing single player too. There's all these other adventurers in the world, and some of them will attack you and some of them won't. So it's like they have, you know, friendly bots and not friendly bots, and some of the character designs, some of the creatures are pretty hilarious looking, and like I just keep getting my ass handed to me by beetles, and then, you know, randomly you'll wander around and the game world is, you know, procedurally generated, and so you'll just wander around and just come across giant bosses and that kind of stuff, and it's more about what's around the next corner, and it's got a really neat, well, at least right now it feels neat, a climbing mechanic that you basically, there's all these, you know, mountainous structures around, and we right when Aaron jumped into my game, we found like this the biggest mountaintop I'd seen yet, and like we're going there. We're just gonna try to get up there, and you can basically jump onto a wall and climb until your stamina is emptied, and you just at certain points you kind of have to just take a risk to see if I want to diagonally climb up this wall enough to get to that next ledge to recover to try it again, and that was really intriguing to me just because it was almost like solving a puzzle to climb this mountain. And you know, the reward was we got to the top of the mountain and got to look around and then figure out a way down. But I don't know, that was, I had had a, you know, obviously I had a really bad day on Monday. It was kind of cathartic. It was just, it was, or very therapeutic. Just to, that game is very peaceful to me, and I kind of really enjoyed that escape.
Yeah. Is it how'd your computer handle it?
Because fine.
I know you've got a good computer, but I know some people have said, I've read that they've kind of struggled a little bit with it in probably lower end computers, but
yeah, I haven't had any issues. It was a little wonky to start, the way the launcher was transitioning back and forth. Like I kind of had to, you know, flip my monitor on and off, alt tab out of the game until like it would come up right. But other than that, I know people had, I think some earlier versions of the game had issues with it, just basically doing a big memory dump when you exit the game, and that was kind of crashing people's computers. But I think they fixed that issue. So and it is alpha, you know, it's a long ways from being a full release, but it's fun that you can get out there and play now, and especially if you've got some friends that are interested in it, I think that's the way to play it.
Cool.
So Josh and Cole, I forget if I've mentioned this, have both gotten Vitas, and while I've been excited and I still think this handheld is sexy as hell, it is one fine piece of hardware, and I have been enjoying going back to playing some Castlevania releases recently. Played some City of Night, played some Dracula X Chronicles. And so I have like this good mix of Vita-only games, some, you know, cross-buy PS3, PSN games. You can stream stuff from my PS3, going back through the PSP library and the PlayStation 1 classics. So I've got like, you know, half a dozen solid game library built up. Problem with the Vita is, has nothing to do with the Vita. It's kind of what I think you already know. Just sitting down to play a handheld game outside of being on the couch or being in the toilet. Like, if I have an hour to dedicate to video gaming, I'm going to go to my PC or I'm going to go to one of my consoles. So, it did not solve that issue, no matter how good looking it is. Like, I'm playing this during loading screens for things. I've yet to really sit down with a long session with the Vita. But yeah, look, like I said, sexiest screen in the business. So, no surprises there for you, I'm sure. Yep.
Nope. So yeah, still not there on it. I mean, you know, I feel like, and now I actually have more of a reason to get a handheld than ever before, because I'm, you know, ride the U-Bahn, the S-Bahn, and the subways here in Germany, and still I can't. I've seen somebody with one, and I feel more professional. That sounds bad. It sounds like me being a dick, but I feel more professional on my iPad, even though I'm not doing anything professional. I'm playing Puzzle Quest or something like that. So, but I kind of like sneer over in those guys' direction. I'm like, oh, whoa, really? You know, keep that at home, losers. But yeah.
While we're on the handheld, I do have one Animal Crossing story that I think you'll get a kick out of. I was playing this game around July 4th, hanging out with some family, and the kids were out playing in the yard and whatever. And so I was checking on my town, and my girlfriend's 10-year-old niece. She's always interested in whatever games I'm playing. She sits down next to me, and she's like, oh, are you playing Animal Crossing? And come to find out, she's been playing that on the Wii. So we had this big, long conversation. And just, it was just like the happiest conversation in the world. I love talking about Animal Crossing with anyone.
Yeah.
And then I just had that moment where her mom comes over, my girlfriend's sister, who we tend to pick fights with each other back and forth anyway. We're both sarcastic assholes that way. But she's like, are you playing Animal Crossing? And like, it was just the complete opposite conversation. Like, she's embarrassed to know me. She's like, that is the most annoying game on the planet. Those stupid animal voices, I just can't stand them. Blah. I was like, you can turn the sound down. I do. But it was just one of those, I knew there was no way to even have an argument, let alone win it. I was just like, I don't really care what you think. I have fun with this silly little game, but it was just one of those, almost like feeling like I got caught playing Animal Crossing. So, but then I go to Twitter and I realize lots of grown men are still playing this game. So I feel okay.
Oh, there's, I was gonna say, I every time I want to kind of give you guys shit for that. There's, I mean, we're all playing. There's, we all have a secret childish game. You just don't keep it a secret. Some of us do.
Maybe so. I should. Maybe I should.
No, I feel like if I had access to Animal Crossing, I would take advantage of that. So don't worry. Sleep well knowing that.
Then finally, more Skyrim streaming this weekend. Really, so I got to. I've unlocked the dragons in the world now. I've done the just go up to the Greybeards and learn about shouts and start to wander around and did a couple cool quests. But the story in my game right now is just, I don't know why I'm putting up with companions. I don't know why I'm putting up with Lydia.
No.
But every time she gets, I mean, it's just been a lot of getting caught in narrow hallways or narrow yes. corridors and not getting them to move around. And every time I'm just completely fed up with her and ready for her to move on, she saves my ass. Because yeah. she's... No, I am trying to do a ranger style, so anytime anybody gets close, you know, I can always use her for a meat shield, and I appreciate that. And then she'll just do some, there'll just be some wonky physics stuff, or just, like, comedic moments. I'm probably going to put a highlight up of her getting getting caught in one of the, like, a swinging, like, spike door trap. Like, she ran into it, five times, and it was hilarious because she got hit by it twice and it knocked down her energy to like where she's kind of collapsed, you know, like uh-huh. on her knees and waiting for you to revive her. And then the door came again and basically just hit her in the face. And I just thought it was, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to keep you around for comedic value now. But,
jeez.
So you advise just get rid of the companions altogether.
Depending on the class that you play with, if you're a mage, you have to have a... I don't think you can play that game as a mage without a companion, or it's going to take a while. I mean, they act as a meat shield, but they also keep people off you. But as soon as I went stealth, dude, it was like they were in my way, and they don't get stealth. I mean, they kind of do. They crouch, and then as soon as they see something, they're like, I got him! And they just fucking run out, and they ruin everything.
They do.
Even the missions where you have to have someone with you, like, it's like, ugh, like, just stay home. So I've kept them at home. I mean, I'm collecting companions still. They live in some of my houses, but I'm not, you know, I'm not super enthusiastic about them as a, I mean, I'm working on a vampire companion right now.
Oh.
And she seems cool. Don't trust her because she's a vampire, but you know, when I do my stealth missions, I don't need any help. I got that taken care of. Yeah. So I think as you get more powerful, you don't need them quite as often.
Okay, yeah. There's that, and then, like you said, playing stealth, like, they yeah. usually just blow your cover or shoot, well, or shoot before you do. That's always my favorite.
Yeah. But they do. They are good for being pack mules. I mean, that is a big thing. Like, yeah. The big strategy is to clear out a dungeon and then go and get the companion and come back and get all the shit, even though half the shit you don't need. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the things I work with is being like hoarding items that I don't need at all.
But, I never thought abused the fast travel that way for some reason. Like, occurred to me to like, beat it, come back when it's empty, and just get all the stuff. Huh.
Yep.
I just have that companion with me and give them all the stuff anyway. So.
Well, I don't suggest doing that because I think about 100 hours worth of my gaming is me organizing, like, my shit, my supplies, and, like, getting more supplies that I don't need. And I have, like, armor, and I have all kinds of fucking money, but I'm nuts about that. Like, if I ever get any sort of wealth in my life, I think it's going to be a problem. I think I'm just going to collect shit, and I'm going to be on Net Geo or whatever the fuck that hoarder show is on. It'll be bad. It'll be a funny episode, but sad too.
That's the interesting thing about live streaming the game is that it always starts or ends with a big inventory management. Like,
yeah,
I was like, this is exciting entertainment right here.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But yeah, still, teetering on the edge of just getting soaked in that game. Like, I could, that could be all I'm playing if there weren't other video games coming out. So,
yep.
Did you want to say anything else about werewolves? This is your opportunity.
Fucking love werewolves.
Okay.
Being werewolf in that game is so awesome. Man, it gets me excited to do that in, like, a... I'd love a... We can talk more about this in the game development section of this show, but being a werewolf in that game is so fun. I'm a good guy in that game, but as a werewolf, I do bad. I get bad. I can get real bad. You know what I mean? That's kind of my little treat to myself. Like, if I've saved a bunch of children or done something good for nuns or something like that, I'll turn into the werewolf and eat some people.
But nobody
would be like, oh, I didn't. I had no control over
werewolf. I've been trying to adopt a child in the game because there's one running around Whiterun. And she was like, I was like, yeah, I'll adopt you. She's like, well, do you have a house? I was like, well, no, not yet. And I was like, I got a house. And she's like, oh, you don't really have room for me in that small house. And I was like, gosh, I was like, I'm trying to do you a favor.
Fucking orphans are demanding, dude. Yeah.
All right, moving on to some creative updates from Horrible Night. What are you working on? What are you playing? What's on tap for Ethan?
So what I'm working on is, again, we've got that interview with Michael Stearns that'll be coming up this week. I've just been having a lot of weird computer issues. I'm past the actual hardware issues. I'm just having a lot of software issues, and I had to re-record that interview and mess with the levels, and I mean, it's coming. Great. It was a really good interview, it's been taxing. It's been taxing, so that's coming up. It's still that Oculus Rift video sitting there.
I'm putting public pressure on you now?
Huh?
I'm putting public pressure on you now.
Well, I need to put it on myself because it may never come out. For anybody that's, you know, wondered where I've been, and if I don't post as much, it's like there's stuff there. It's just like 75% done, and it's tough to kind of like step over that edge, you know. So, those focus on those kind of things, and then getting back to, like, I'm really, again, indie game wise, I really am trying to send emails out to talk to people and playing games that look interesting to me. And
if you guys see any like green light games or new indie games that you would like us to try, we're pretty open to that. Yeah. I've been I'm not planning this, but just like about once a week, an indie game that I haven't heard of or that looks interesting will show up. And I'll do a quick game curious of that. And I've been trying to do one of those. Like, I've been trying to do a Game Curious video at least once a week. Those have been happening more on Sunday nights, but I just kind of... I'll live stream it if it's available, but we've also started getting... We've got a couple more streamers lined up. Aaron is kind of back in the mix here. Coop will be back this week, continuing some of their games. I think I'm going to stick with Skyrim for a while for my go-to game, but mixing up the multiplayer games on the other nights and random indie games. I want to try to talk somebody playing The Witcher, because that fell off of our radar a little bit. I did want to give you a little bit of a shout out. I told you this when I was putting the article up, but as far as like, we are trying to get back to focusing on our editorial series, the different ones that we have on the site, and you brought back a Just Five More Minutes piece that was just all kinds of retro nostalgia goodness for Area 51. And if you haven't read it yet, Ethan basically paints this picture of the first time he came across Area 51 in the arcade. And picture, is this 10-year-old Ethan? Picture little Ethan in a very crowded arcade on my arcade / go-kart place. Playing Area 51, being enthralled with it because he gets to kill aliens, and he's studying up to become, you know, a great hero, and he's basically taking target practice. And then I just wanted to be around when that moment clicked for you. We're like, I'm going to play as both the first and the second player, and basically dual wielding his way through Area 51 and drawing a crowd until his plan completely fell apart. So
yeah, it was... Oh, man. Silly moment as a chubby little idiot. Man, that game. I forget about that game, dude. I forget about how those light gun games felt. Like, now everybody, they say, like, on rails. Like, anytime you're trying to, like, insult, like, a game, you say, oh, it's so on rails. There was a time that on rails was awesome. We love that shit, you know? So
I've never had the dual wielding moment. That would be... I would have given you a high five no matter what your performance
was.
God,
it was embarrassing. I fucking stood there like this and looked down and, like, lifted my hand. I was like, I was such a fucking, like, you know, like, there's this thing going around right now. People are kind of like, I like video games back when people hated me for liking video games.
And yeah.
The fact of the matter that I'm coming to realize is no one hated anybody for just playing video games. They hated people for doing shit like that in the fucking arcade. You know, taking the game too seriously. I mean, you could play. We played video games. We had friends in the past. Not in elementary school for me, though, because definitely it was just like you just took it to the extreme. So, you know, if you're one of those out there that think that you're being persecuted for playing video games, take a second and look at the kind of weird shit you do in conjunction to your video games, and you may see that there's a little bit of a thread there that you can kind of work with. So, God, it was, oh my, I wish I just beat the shit out of myself back then. Like, just fucking just.
I'm glad you didn't, because that story was fantastic. And I know I told you it was very, like, old school Horrible Night, and I hope that we bring back some more of that, trying to work on some more creative pieces. I mean, I feel like we've actually done a good job lately of being a little bit analytical, like a lot more reviews and opinionated pieces. But we kind of found this site on the entertaining editorials, and look for us to go back to that a bit more. Did try a Reflex review video. Is that something you're going to do more of?
Going to do a lot more of those, probably until I figure out my Adobe Premiere issues, because I'm having issues going from OBS to Premiere. Just something weird. Just another one of those things. And as you can see, I figured out the webcam issues, so it's only a matter of time before I troubleshoot the Premiere one. But yeah, what I think what I'm going to do is probably going to do those Reflex reviews live for the time being, usually at times that people aren't around. But again, Verdeen popped in, and that was great. And just, again, like, I'm really into right now this idea of first impressions.
Yeah.
And, like, if you don't get me within a half an hour, like, and there's no sort of, like, reach, like, I think that is a good testament to not reviewing a game fully, because to fully review a game, you really have to play through, you have to finish it, or at least have a really, like, spend a lot of time with it, you know? Like, I haven't finished Skyrim, but I could review Skyrim because I spent a lot of time with it. But games also, there's also that, and why the Reflex reviews are so important, why I like them so much, and why we focus on those so much, is that, like, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Why are you excited for this game, or why aren't you excited for this game? And that saves people money. Mm-hmm. You know, that is going to, like, you can look at these Reflex reviews and say, look, this isn't going to be for me, and you can avoid it without having to go through a whole review. And I think that's a really good aid, especially with some of the indie games coming out, giving them a quick either, you know, praise and saying, go get this now, you need it, or wait on it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something I want to focus more on.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, the Game Curious videos, I think, have lend very well to games I don't know much about. And then you'll see our Reflex reviews, video and written, after we've spent a decent chunk of time with the game, but we've got a little bit more background on it. But I still love the Game Curious style, as well, just because that is a true first impression. And I think capturing that, regardless of the, purchase decision information that it's giving you, I think those are some of the more entertaining moments in video games. It's just like discovering something awesome or terrible about a game and like witnessing that. And so that's the other side to, I guess, the entertainment side to some of our approaches with the reviews. But every time I do Nathan, you're kind of the same way. Every time we do a review video, whether it's Game Curious, Reflex Review, or like an all-out one, like, we continue to play the game a bit more and refine our opinion. So you'll see, you know, a 30-minute Game Curious video and probably hear me wrap up what my initial opinions are, but I tend to let that sit for a little bit and then also write it up in a little bit more in-depth. So we try to give you both the video reaction and then the kind of written review, so you can absorb it however you'd like. So, I think you can expect a lot more of those, so let us know what's working for you and what's not. On the editorial side, for me, I'm still going to probably take a... There was some really interesting stuff in The Last of Us in my most recent session with it in regards to, you know, this is an apocalyptic scenario where you're going through abandoned towns or, like, sections of the city, and you will come across... rooms or floors of apartments, and you'll just see, you know, all the scattered lives of these people that had to leave this place or died in this place. And you can, especially in this game, just see that the writers for The Last of Us took that into account when they're not just doing a level design. There's a story. If you investigate, like, the path of debris in almost all of these buildings, that really tells some, like, harrowing and, like, heroic tales. You can see that, like, they locked this door at the last minute and got out, or they didn't get out. And I'm finding myself just fascinated with the environments in that game. Yet another distraction for me for not finishing the game. But I'm going to try to take a look at some other moments similar to that and kind of explore that a little bit, because that really just made me almost like, I put down the controller a bit and was just looking at this room and just like how much time did they think through this specific house? Because there was one in particular, and it just blew me away. And
well, yeah, and that's, well, I mean, just like, that's why, you know, Bethesda games always, like, I'm so excited for those, is because you go off the beaten path and you pay attention and something cool is there. And I love those little nuggets. And again, Left 4 Dead had the, you know, the writing on the wall, and there's, you know, a few little moments there. But I mean, everything, you know, you've said about Last of Us, I mean, I still want to play that game so bad, because it seems like just everything that I want.
I want to give it to you somehow. So you
just
can
give it to me. Just give it to me through the net. I need to just watch someone play it.
Let's get out of here with some random game pitches. You've jotted some stuff down. Do you want to start with a general pitch and see where we go?
Okay, so I want, you know, again, going back to Skyrim-ish conversation, I want a game where you stop bad guys, but you do it in like a friendly way, like you know, that
you
that
talk
pure,
them out of it?
Like, yeah, you just, you know, maybe you're, you know, but not with a weapon, like a way to kind of manipulate situations to, like, convince people not to do things, you know, so
instead of committing this crime, eat this ice cream sandwich.
And you kind of get points based on that, or you give someone like a Milky Way, and it's just like, look, you could kill all those kids, or you could have this Milky Way. I mean, look at this.
It reminded me of
along those lines.
It reminded me of the dumb free Doritos Xbox Live Arcade games, or the Yaris game. This is the Milky Way crime solving game.
Well, and I mean, why I was thinking about this is going back to the my brother and me rant about. Home Alone was that, you know, like, because, you know, Kevin McAllister did nice things for these crazy old people, they ended up helping him in the end. I just like this idea of, like, just you know, off the cuff, just helping someone random as shit on the street and ending up actually, like, being, like, enacting change in their life and in their motivations. And it could be in simple shit, not like, you know, like having a magical, you know, love beam, but, like, you know, literally going up and like, hey, look, I got half a Snickers. I don't want it. Do you want it? And, like, literally, that guy is so hungry, he wants to kill somebody. And he's like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll take a Snickers. This guy's great. The world's different, you know? And maybe there's, a supervillain who starts out as a normal guy, and you step into his life, and you prevent him from being a supervillain. And then he goes on to be, like, you know, like a, I don't know, like a clown. Like
a super lawyer.
Yeah, like all pro bono, you know? Yeah. So... like a friendly game. I think we could all use that, you know? I think we could all use that.
Me, actually, kind of an interesting... I can see it working with The Sims for some reason. Like, you're actually...
Yeah.
Sims therapist. You know, you're basically influencing... It's like a weird architect game. Like, you're... Based on your performance as a therapist, you're influencing these people to either be terrible or really nice.
That is a really good idea. Maybe at the end of it, it's almost like a Walking Dead where you kind of see how these stories play out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's actually, like, my idea sounded really dumb, but then you kind of put the icing on the, like, made it a little bit more legit. Yeah, let's make that game. Make that. Who develops? Someone develops in chat? Develop that game now.
Doing it right now while we move on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So last week we were talking about Borderlands Tiny Tina DLC, and we immediately drew the line to Red Dead Undead Nightmare and Far Cry Blood Dragon, just like these completely different takes on DLC that have worked really well, like all of these seem to be at least critically well received. I don't know. I know Undead Nightmare and Blood Dragon sold really well. We don't know yet on Tiny Tina, but and just what if DLC took more of an episodic approach like that, where like your season pass to Borderlands 2 or whatever game has more of a unique style like that. So my idea became, have you ever seen the movie VHS? Do you know the premise? So the premise of VHS is this is a collection of four or five horror stories that are all found footage films that they basically, the production of it was, they gave it to...
I'm thinking of UHF, sorry. Oh.
That is completely different.
That's a weird Al Yankovic joint. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, I don't know VHS.
I could actually tie this into that. This would, I'll come back to UHF. But VHS, collection of horror stories into one movie, like five of them, so they're short, and they gave them to like different directors that had different styles. And so each movie just felt completely different than the other, and it was also kind of low budget approach. But my idea was, what if you had a game, or usually any of these open world games, that has an effective setting and an effective game mechanics, and you just want that new skin on it, like and so they, I don't know, the Borderlands guys get together with a game director from another company or some, and they just make, you just make the DLC for this game. Go do whatever you want. Here's your foundation of a game.
Yeah.
But like the fact that Borderlands 2, but the Tiny Tina stuff worked so well and was just told in a completely different manner. Just like they gave that excuse of, no, they're playing D&D. She's just telling a story and here you go. I think that's brilliant. And I think there's a lot of other opportunities for that I would buy those season passes to know that, you know, Kevin, you know, or, Ken Levine is influencing this DLC pack for Red Dead 2. You know what I mean? And it just seems like kind of a cool foundation, and I like the VHS movie. So,
well, and oh man, that would be really like, I want to be I like to be shocked with DLC. Like, I love it when they, you know, give me more, but I like to kind of be like thrown off base a little bit, and you know, jumping to the side. Is nice. I like that. And just having somebody completely different who doesn't even work in your genre. You know, like, what if John Madden was said, hey, we need you to make the next Skyrim expansion.
Well, my UHF Tyrim was, what if Weird Al got to do an episode for Grand Theft Auto 5?
Oh,
like
shit.
A parody episode.
I would.
You say UHF, I think of his Rambo scenes and, like, all his little, his Indiana Jones parody, and... So Weird Al Yankovic DLC, it should be a thing. Oh,
that, yeah, I would be into that. I may even think about purchasing GTA 5.
Maybe. that's what'll push you over.
Yeah, that's what I need.
All right, you see our list here. Which one do you want to go with? Pick one of mine below or one of yours.
We should probably go with Teen Wolf minigames, because one of mine is literally popcorn, and then in parentheses, it's not really popcorn, so I don't know what you're going to build off of that premise. So, Teen Wolf minigame.
I mean, Teen Wolf sports is where it starts. Because you've got your basketball game and you've got your boxing game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it one Teen Wolf or is it a bunch of Teen Wolves? I mean, I guess you'd have to feature multiple Teen Wolves, because one Teen Wolf would just win.
I think people like the tutorial intro levels, you've got to be... Oh, shit. I mean, the premise of these movies is you can't unleash the wolf.
Yeah.
And there's got to be some sort of advantage to not turning into the wolf, but it's okay at certain instances. I don't know if you want to get that deep. Or it's basically like the tutorial and first few levels are you're the only wolf and you're just dominating the humans. And then the later levels, you actually fight other team wolves.
Now, people may... I mean, wolves are cool, but what if we introduce some more mythological creatures into it?
Okay.
Like maybe a teen mummy, or like a teen zombie, or like a teen creature from the Black Lagoon, Teen Kong. Teen Kong comes rolling in. They all have their own strengths, and I remember the Teen Wolf cartoon. A lot of the times they featured families full of supernatural creatures. I remember there was like wizards and.
I guess I was picturing it though. If you started off with that you're the only supernatural character. And, like, I want it to look like a... you know, the Kinect sports game, like, look kind of realistic, or not realistic, but, like, look like they're taking it seriously, and then you unlock all the silliness. Like, I don't even want to be sold on it. I just want that to be, like, Easter egg stuff that all of a sudden you're fighting all these creatures, because, I don't know, if it, I feel like if you sell it with the creatures in mind, it becomes, like, this much more kiddie game, and I, for some reason, yeah. I want this game to be overly serious.
And, you know, what Ken Levine comes in and he's going to take the Teen Wolf franchise to the next level.
I don't know what the Ken
it's
Levine.
It's going to be ultra violent, but it's going to have a meaning.
Ken Levine Teen Wolf Sports Arena DLC. I don't know what that looks like. dystopian sports games featuring werewolves.
Dystopian Teen Wolf? Teen Wolf in the sky.
Okay,
Teen
yeah,
Wolf
let's just drop the sports thing. Maybe that can be Ken's next project.
What kind of games can we get Teen Wolf into? Ken, look, you know, BioShock Infinite, it was great. We loved it. But we got this project for you that you're going to love it. Remember Teen Wolf? Go.
And with your name attached to it, we think we can get Michael J. Fox to come back and do the voices. Mike, yeah. Jason Bateman's all over it. It's fine. Like, he's already out there doing this.
Oh, Jason Bateman was Teen Wolf too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my God.
Better question, who should have been Teen Wolf 3?
Who should have been? Well, it was Taylor Lautner, wasn't it, in the fucking Twilight movies? Teen Wolf 3, Zav Galifianakis would be a great Teen Wolf, actually. More like a middle-aged man wolf.
I'd watch that.
Like an actual scene. Oh, I would watch the hell out of it. That would be great.
They should have tied that in with Hangover 3. He becomes a middle-aged wolf.
I would have felt a lot better about watching Hangover 3 if that would have been the case. I guess maybe Tim Allen, because Tim Allen reprised the role of Shaggy Dog. So maybe he, you know, like, Tim, are you, like, yeah, you did the Santa Claus transformation, you did the Shaggy Dog, what about Teen Wolf?
Hangover Wolf.
Hangover Wolf.
Alright, that's going to do it for Night Force Action Report. Chat, thanks for hanging out with us. You can join us every Tuesday night on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. We post these episodes every Wednesday on HorribleNight.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes. If you like the show, give us a review. Give us some rating. Helps us promote the show. Helps us keep going. We appreciate the support ahead of time. Ethan, thanks for hanging out tonight.
Yeah.
We'll catch you all next time. See ya.